Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got Finn McCager-Higgins with me. Hey, Finn.
Hey, Jeff.
We just wrapped up a good hour chat about Finn and his history and his short film In the Pines, or featurette In the Pines at 41 minutes. Proud to say it was an official selection of Film Invasion LA in 2021 as an experimental art house category. Love the film. And spoke to Finn about it, and he was kind enough to let it be part of the Discover Indie Film TV series. So if you've got access to Prime Video and you're in the USA or UK, for now, we're not in Canada, but I'm working on it. You want to go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and look at season 5, episode 10, and enjoy In the Pines, which is a kick-ass film made by some kick-ass people who just, you know, what can I say? I program film festivals, so when a group of friends just say, we're going to put all our hearts and souls into making a film, and you do it yourselves, and you finance it yourselves, and you get it done, and you get it out there, I don't know, I just think that deserves a round of applause, a little more than a massive, massive Hollywood film. What can I say? What I love. But this podcast, we're not even going to discuss any of that. We are going to have Finn answer the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are name your 3 favorite movies, name a film that's underrated, name a film that's overrated, and then name a lesser known film that people should seek out and watch. So I will shut the hell up and let you share some of your favorite films.
Okay. My 3 favorite films off the top of my head, and this is always a dangerous thing to narrow it down to 3, but Pulp Fiction, Tarantino, The Shining, Kubrick, and I'm going to double this as my lesser known film, I think.
Okay, cool.
Enemy by Denis Villeneuve.
Oh, Enemy. So, fair enough. I was waiting for Blue Velvet to pop in, but I understand.
It's funny. I love Lynch, but it's not necessarily one of my top 5.
Right. And it's not one. Yeah. As wonderful as it is, it's not like, obviously like a favorite is something you watch over and over. And I'm not sure how frequently I want to dive into the Blue Velvet pool, but Whereas, yeah. So The Shining, so you definitely have a love for the auteur director.
Yeah. I love Kubrick. And, I think each of those 3 films remain favorites, even though they're especially Pulp Fiction very different than the other two. Just purely out of, I thought of if someone says, think of a movie, what movie pops in my head? It's probably going to be one of those 3.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I imagine, I'm going to do a call back to the last podcast episode, but did you see all 3 of those in Grandma's basement? She must have had The Shining, and I know you saw Pulp Fiction there.
She had The Shining, but I actually didn't watch The Shining with her. I actually saw The Shining, funny enough, with my dad later on, and it gave me terrible nightmares. but that's part of why it was so memorable. It was so effective. And I rewatch that movie at least every year. And then Enemy, I just watched with my roommates in college. Strange movie to watch late at night. And it, especially with its ending, which we'll go to it. We were like, what the, it's one of those kind of, it's very much like Lynch, like maybe like Mulholland Drive, I would say. And that you watch Mulholland Drive and you go, what the fuck was that about? And then you rewatch it and it's kind of like a puzzle. And the themes kind of develop through that, putting the puzzle together. And that's what Enemy is like.
You know, and you're making me nostalgic for those days of our youth when you would be young and have roommates and shit, and you would watch the same films over and over and just get more out of them. Like I used to say, like, you don't even know how much you like a film until you've at least seen it twice.
That's so true. Oh my God. I mean, I saw Dunkirk for the first time in theaters, and I was like, that was fucking lame. What was that? Rewatched it, and now it's in my top 20, and it blows my mind. It's crazy how rewatching a film, you're right, you haven't seen it until you've seen it twice.
Yeah, you really, and Well, anyway, we won't bother with that topic. We agree. So your second category, and it sounds like you have a top five. You want to give your next two?
Oh, then I think Blue Velvet would be in there. And then, geez, the fifth. I would have to think about the fifth. Maybe we'll come full circle. I'll remember number five later on.
If you feel like it. All right. Well, the second question is a film that is underrated.
Underrated. I think I'm kind of getting underrated and lesser known. I think they're kind of getting, they're getting mixed in my mind a little bit, and I think that's okay. But this filmmaker named Craig S. Zoller, who I only discovered recently in the scheme of things in the last 2 years. And he's made the films Bone Tomahawk, Rollins Cell Block 99, and Dragged Across Concrete. And of the three, they're all fantastic. Very pulpy movies. Not Tarantino, something different. They're almost like exploitation films. But Rollins Cell Block 99, I know this was supposed to be an underrated film. I don't really know what its ratings are. I just know I had never heard of it. And then I saw it and I said, how the fuck has everyone not watched this? This is unbelievable. So that is an underrated and I think not as talked about film. Rollins Cell Block 99.
I think you're completely right about that because Bone Tomahawk really became his calling card of sorts, right? And everyone says, see it, see it, see it, see it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's totally a valid underrated because people are making such a big deal about that film and not his follow-up film, mm-hmm. which I guess what? I haven't seen because people don't talk about it.
I recommend it. It's something you see and you go, how have I not seen this before? This just feels like essential cinema in its own very pulpy, over-the-top way.
All right, cool. Well, let's have some fun. The next question is a film that is overrated.
Oh, man. A film that's overrated. This is, you know what? This is the one I struggled with the most because I don't like so many movies.
Right, there's so many you don't like. And by the way, this isn't even necessarily, you're not saying it's a bad film. It could be a film that you really enjoy, but maybe it won Best Picture when it shouldn't have, or everyone tells you, you know, for me sometimes, and I mean by this is that a lot of people sort of highlight Fargo as the best Coen Brothers film. And I'm like, not even. I'd go to Miller's Crossing or something else. So for me, Fargo is a little overrated because I think people lift it higher than their other work, and I'm kind of against that.
What's your favorite Coen Brothers? Is it Miller's
Crossing? It's Miller's Crossing, yeah. Although, honestly, it's like a whole, there's so many amazing films.
Okay, that was a really good example for informing mine. And this will be good because it kind of connects back to another one, but the first Tarantino film I saw was Pulp Fiction, and the most recent Tarantino film I saw was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and let me tell you, I was bored to fucking tears during that movie, which I do think requires a reevaluation because, you know, so much of movies, well, you don't, let me save myself here by saying you haven't seen a movie until you've seen it twice. And at some point, I will see that movie for the second time, but it's long as hell, which is definitely a barrier to seeing it the second time. But that would I think that would be my overrated movie. I was so excited for it. Went in, I think, with the wrong expectations of what it was going to be, because there's aspects of it I appreciate so much. Like Leonardo DiCaprio's performance is fantastic. And that whole character is fantastic. And it also makes me realize that I think his best performances are always when he plays ridiculous over the top characters like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Django as Calvin Candy. And then, as the lead in Wolf of Wall Street, these ridiculous, almost comedic characters are his best ones. But movie as a whole, it's overrated.
I am with you. Amusingly, I heard a podcast and I mean, talk about a movie nerd's dream. It was Paul Thomas Anderson interviewing Quentin Tarantino for an hour discussing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That sounds incredible.
And PTA freaking loves the shit out of that movie. And I saw it at the Cinerama Dome here in LA because Quentin shoots shit in CinemaScope, and I wanted to see it at the Cinerama Dome. And I did, and I was disappointed. Although for me, I'm the opposite of you. I every time Brad Pitt's on screen, I'm loving that movie. And whenever it moves away from Brad Pitt's character, I'm like, I'm having a hard time being into this.
Yeah, that's fair. It's funny how divisive it would be literally between, I mean, the movie is divided between the two characters.
Yeah.
They literally just leave each other and go on and do their own thing.
They really do. And I'm all about Brad Pitt's guy, whose name I'm forgetting. But then I watched the film a second time because my wife didn't go to the theater with me. I went with a friend, you know, when it came out on HBO or whatever it was. And I was like, nah, still not his best.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate it, but it's certainly not his best, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely put it below even other secondary ones like Hateful Eight and stuff like that. Definitely, you know, but hey, Quentin gets to have his A's and his B's and his occasional B minus. He's human.
What I thought watching it is that this movie, he made this movie for nobody other than himself. And you know what? That's pretty goddamn cool that someone could do that with that budget of that budget of movie. So if you watch it on some THC, like you mentioned with THC cinema, that'd probably be a good THC cinema movie. And you viewed it as this is just Quentin Tarantino jerking himself off. It would probably be a pretty interesting experience.
You know, and you bring up a very good point about cinema and auteur directors, which is we are asking them to be self-indulgent. We want, you know, some directors fuck it up and we're like, get out of the way of the story. You're just distracting me with what you're doing.
Yeah.
But with the people you've named, with the, you know, I mean, I want David Lynch to be as self-indulgent as ever. That thing he did for Netflix where it was him talking to a monkey, I thought that was pure genius. I told everyone I knew, you better go watch that because it's just freaking so good. That's and can you get more self-indulgent?
No, I don't think you can. So it's what we want. And sometimes it's too much. But I think when I watch it again, that's going to be the lens I watch it through. This is just Quentin Tarantino's buffet. You mentioned PTA, which reminded me, I think, of a top five film. I love There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Will Be Blood is just that's a fucking movie.
Masterpiece.
It's a movie. And the score and the I mean just everything. So this movie that fires on all cylinders and it gets done. And often I feel like you watch things and you think to yourself, maybe that could have been a TV series. Maybe that could have been this medium, or like the story could have been told in a different manner, longer or shorter. Sometimes more often I watch films, and I go, that could have been a 15-minute film. There Will Be Blood is a perfect movie.
It is. It's pure cinema. That first, whatever is 25 to 30 minutes where a story is told without dialogue, just picture and sound, and an amazing performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, In fact, I often bitch and whine about the fact that it lost Best Picture to No Country for Old Men. Because as great as No Country is, There Will Be Blood, I think, is a better film in almost every way.
You know what? I have to throw this in here to be divisive, but I would actually... You saying that makes me think my fifth film is it's 1-5, 1-6 depends on the day.
Watching, so you're gonna push There Will Be Blood out of the top five and throw in No Country for
all you. Just to piss you off. No,
I love it. Obviously, one of the great things about this four questions deal is I think it's better when people disagree a little.
It's hard though. It depends on the day. Those are both amazing films, and they're both it's so interesting. They came out the same year because they're both masterpieces. They're my favorite of each filmmaker, respectively. filmmakers with the Coens. But There Will Be Blood is a epic, definition of an epic. I rewatching No Country recently, I couldn't believe how contained that film is. It's pretty much just a cat and mouse between Anton Chigurh and
and Woody?
And Brolin, and Brolin's character.
Oh yeah.
It's just he just follows him and he goes in a hotel and then he pushes a suitcase into the whatever it is, and then he moves rooms. It's like all so just literal. It's like, oh, I'm gonna change rooms now. Oh, now I'm gonna push this. Oh, now I'm gonna buy tent poles so I can make a shotgun thing. But another great film. Certainly not underrated or overrated.
Certainly. All right, so we did overrated. So that leaves one more, and that's the lesser known that people should seek out.
So I mentioned the Zoller films, but I did have one ready for this in addition, which was Annihilation, the Alex Garland film.
Right, yeah, his follow-up to Ex Machina.
Yeah, have you seen Annihilation?
I saw Annihilation in the I have a really sad story about seeing that. I saw that in the theaters here in LA, and the projection wasn't great.
Oh.
And I was watching it, and I was saying to myself, I bet if I watch this at home again I didn't have a 4K at the time, but I got 4K now. I bet when I watch it again, I'm going to be more amazed with the visuals.
Oh, man, it's spectacular. It's spectacular.
And I love I don't mind at all when I have no clue what's going on.
Yeah, that's definitely a strange one. All of, you know what, I actually don't remember Ex Machina as well, but a little public service announcement is Alex Garland's most recent film, Men, is in theaters right now. And if you didn't know what was going on in Annihilation, you sure as hell won't know what's going on in Men. It's literally just M-E-N, Men. But it's fucking fantastic. And I think that one might be going a little bit under the radar, and I can't recommend it that enough. Both of those films, Annihilation and Men, and their scores, the composer named Ben Salisbury, holy shit, those movie scores are unbelievable.
Most excellent. Yeah, actually, man, my excuse for not knowing what's in theaters is that I have to watch so many films that are submitted to the festival. Although I think you're right, because right now, especially post-COVID, like theater going still hasn't quite kicked in, I don't think. And, you know, if it's not a Marvel movie, I don't know what's in theaters at the moment.
Well, let me give you at a quick fifth question answer, which is, if you're going to go to theaters, here is my Finn McCager Higgins list of the three movies you should see. Asterisk, I'm not sure they're all still in theaters. Two of them are. First would be The Northman, Robert Eggers' new movie, director of The Witch and The Lighthouse. Fantastic auteur director. That one is the only one I'm not sure is still in theaters. If it is, go see it as soon as possible. The Northman. Second is Men, Alex Garland's new film. Fantastic, very weird, very creepy, very contained sci-fi film. And the third, which I mentioned on the other podcast I just saw, and I would say is definitely the most fun. If you just want to go see a fun movie in theaters, in IMAX if possible, is go see Nope. You didn't think you had to see it in IMAX, but God damn it, you do.
I'm glad you told me that, because I'm absolutely going to rush out and see Nope. I've been excited about Nope since I knew it existed. I don't think Jordan Peele can do... I'm just a huge Jordan Peele fanboy. I've actually rewatched all the whole Key and Peele series probably three times now, because, and it blows you away, because when it was first on TV, it was comedy. And then you go back and watch it, and Jordan Peele was always directing horror.
Fuck, now I'm going to rewatch it.
There are so many salutes to horror films, salutes to all kinds of things. So yeah. And then I actually think that Get Out and Us are both perfect. Although actually I'm a little controversial. I put Us above. I think Us is
interesting.
I cannot get enough of Us.
I'll say this about Jordan Peele. I think there's a lot of great auteur directors working right now. Like we mentioned, Alex Garland, Robert Eggers, Denis Villeneuve. We did Dune. That was last year, though. An Enemy. But they're all great, but I'd make an argument that the single most entertaining movies, if you just want to be just have your socks entertained off, you watch a Jordan Peele movie.
100%. And then you get back and you can discuss it and you realize there's so much to it. And he's shining up. He is holding a mirror up to the culture of the United States of America in ways that most people can't even handle once you point it out to them.
Yeah, I know. He's fucking spectacular.
He's spectacular. Thank God he got this career. God, you know, he went from SNL and Mad TV to Key and Peele to being a premier director who I sure as fuck hope gets to do everything he wants from now on.
I think he will. And Nope, I think is like I said, it feels like a big movie. It's bigger than the other two.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Spielberg last time. Yes.
So. That's all like I could think in the last act. I'm going, this feels like a fucking Spielberg movie, which is one of the biggest compliments you can give. It's, you know what it is? I couldn't believe, I didn't know you could make a blockbuster like this. I'm watching Nope by Jordan Peele, which I didn't know was a blockbuster because it's sure not advertised like that. And I watch, I go, this is a fucking blockbuster. And I had no idea you could make it like this, but Jordan Peele just proved he can.
Excellent. All right. Love it. Before we wrap up, since we're both film nerds, I'm going to throw out that I assume you saw... Oh, and then his brain stops. Ready Player One?
I didn't see Ready Player One. I didn't see it.
You're the second Shining fan who I'm going to demand you watch Ready Player One, which I offend filmmakers all the time by saying it's Steven Spielberg's best film because everything else isn't that good. But you will not think it's Spielberg's best film. I'm the only person ridiculous enough to think that. But. Okay. But there is an entire sequence of The Shining in that film.
That sounds awesome.
Done by Spielberg that is just completely, you just step into the film.
Fuck, okay. Now I'm definitely going to watch it. And especially because I've heard, the first time I've heard it, it's Spielberg's best film.
I swear to God. And the opening sequence is probably the best action that he's ever directed. It's out of this world good. And I actually, you know, what can I say? All right, I'll shut the fuck up. This ain't about me and my Spielbergian opinions. So.
But they're great.
All right. Finn, McCager Higgins, you want to tell people your social media so they can look you up if they need to?
I'm on Instagram. It's Finn McCager. Spelling will be in the details, I imagine. But it's like big tunnels.
Two N's and two C's.
Yep, that's it. And I'm also on Vimeo. And if you just do vimeo.com/McCager, it'll take you to my Vimeo page.
Excellent. All right. McCager. MCCAGER.
Correct. Which,
yeah, for a cage fighter, that works. For MMA, that's pretty rad.
Yeah.
All right. I will wrap this up as quickly as I can. You just heard Finn's excellent taste in film, so watch his film In the Pines. It's in the Discovery Indie Film TV series, so go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discovery Indie Film, hit season 5, episode 10, or just get the whole season. Buy all 5 seasons, man, and just enjoy films handpicked from the festival circuit. All right, and if you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series, just go to discoveryindiefilm.com, and on social media, it's at DIFWINS. And Finn's film, In the Pines, was at Filmvasion Los Angeles in 2021. That's a festival we hold every June. You can learn more at filminvasionla.com, and it's at filminvasionla on social media. And there is a sister festival every November. That's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, and you go to shermanoaksff.com, and it's at shermanoaksff on social media. And I think I fucked up. I didn't ask people to... like and subscribe if you... I fucked up the last episode. I didn't say at the end, like and subscribe, support, you know. It's... people should watch the TV series and give it 5 stars and say something nice about In the Pines and watch... And, you know, click whatever podcatcher you're on give it a review. Be nice, you know. It's we live in a strange world, right?
Yeah.
We live in a strange world controlled by trolls, and like 5,000 people will love your film, but the only person who reviews it on IMDb is the asshole who should have never seen it, who like gives it one star and says, "I don't know why I watched this." Like,
that's very true.
So when you enjoy shit, take a little time and let the world know it's good shit. That is my plea as a festival programmer and a fan of cinema and indie cinema. Finn McCager-Higgins, thanks for taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Jeff. And thank you for the Spielberg recommendation.
Hey, I look forward. You'll have to fire off an email to me after you watch Ready Player One.
I will.
And you'll say, number one, you're fucking nuts if you think that's his best film. Like, the guy who's made... By the way, my number two would be Munich. So.
Okay.
And, so I'm totally out of line with all the E.T. lovers and the Jaws lovers. And I realize he's made some good films. So fire off an email to me after you see it. Thank you again. And I'm going to thank everyone who listened.
Thanks, John.